Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. October 12th, 2014, Ever Beyond Radio, Wolf Spirit Radio, everbeyond.info, reclaiminthelight.com, katiegalanti.com, katiegalanti.net, katiegalanti.cosmos, katiegalanti.galactic. You know, there is an IP system. You know, like, you know, we have this thing, you know, .co.uk, you know?
Yeah.
We're kind of, it's like .co.uk.earth, .co.uk.earth.soul, .co.uk.soul.aldebaran, you know, etc. It goes on. And there is, and there has to be, a cosmic addressing system. And there's a cosmic galactic DNS.
Absolutely, I agree.
That's what you see in my, that's what it looks like. Anyway, so, okay, I'm just going to pull the pin out.
Yep.
And hopefully all the juice is still in there. Katie Galanti, thank you. Carry on.
Okay, the pin, we headed into the New Age consciousness metaphysics derailing, right? And we were basically saying that, you know, there's this huge mistrust into anything spiritual and metaphysical. And I actually think that huge mistrust, it exists within the normal population for a certain set of reasons, but it's also present within the truth warrior, info-warrior kind of movement as well. Because people like, do I mention names here? I don't know.
You could do impressions of their voice, perhaps.
No, let's say that there's been a few teachers, right, that have been put out there, that have put out teachings that say that anything that is multidimensional, or that talks about stuff that is multidimensional, is dark, and it's basically Luciferian stuff in disguise and demonic, and do you know what I mean, and all that kind of stuff. That's one set of teachings.
Really? Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, then there's another set of teachings out there that are basically saying that the whole hierarchy of beings that are on the other side of the veil, kind of thing, all imposter beings, all of them, right, all through the food chain. And Ashayana Dean is one of the people that talks about that, right? And then there's also George Kasavilos. I can never remember his name. Right?
Not bad today. Not bad. Kasavilos.
was that actually right?
No. But not bad. You got the rhythm right. Kasavilos. Like Kasavilos. Kasavilos.
I'm terrible. There's something missing in my brain where the name box goes. I'm serious.
It's cute, though. I mean, it's all right. Yeah, anyway.
When I was a teacher in school, it used to take me 3 to 6 months to learn everybody's names. I had to write them down on pieces of paper and stick them to the box. It was not my thing, right? I can pull dots together, but I can't remember names. So anyway. Then they have also been infiltrated teachers that have put out information that sounds good, but it's actually bad. So confusing things even further, right? So basically, the whole thing is full of confusion. And I think that one of the effects that it has to have that level of confusion within the metaphysical arena is that most people can't be bothered and they just say it's all rubbish and trash and they just put it to the side. Okay?
Yeah, they just turn off to it.
And that is actually the mind control. They want you to do that. They want every group, for different reasons, to reject the spiritual metaphysical. The mainstream people will reject it because it's not rational and it doesn't go with their liberal progressive paradigm. The conservative Christian people will reject it because it's, demonic and, it's not in alignment with the Christian teachings, which is not true, by the way. And Christ itself used metaphysical technology, right? So, and then there is the people of our kind that a lot of them reject it because they're suspicious of it because they think it's just another like Masonic trick kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? But in one way or another, they manage to get people to reject the metaphysical. And by metaphysical, I mean psychic energy technology that can be used to shift reality on the one hand, and also connections to higher aspects of one's own being and higher aspects of being in general in the higher dimensional planes that one can associate oneself with to create healing, but also changes and shifts at the physical level and on the earth plane. One of the reasons which they've done that is because that is one of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself and for humanity, is to connect with the higher aspects of yourself and with other beings that are at higher aspects of reality that are playing on your team, right? Not on their team, on your team. Being able to distinguish who is on which is team is part of your own spiritual evolutionary journey. You have to learn how to do that. Often, if you follow your gut, you will know who plays for which side. You actually can tune into it and you'll feel it. And if you can't and you're all shut down and you can't feel a thing, then you need to meditate. You need to do a lot of meditation work. You need to, clear your field. You need to not drink alcohol. And you can drink a little bit of alcohol, but not in grand quantities, because alcohol is a consciousness diminisher. There's some drugs.
We'll talk about yeast in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's some drugs that raise your consciousness, and there's some that take it down, right? All of them, in the long run, will mess up your energy field. But at least some of them, temporarily, will take you to a higher space. Alcohol doesn't. As alcohol will take you to a lower space almost every single time, and it's a gateway substance for the demonic energy and astral negative energy, that is one of the reasons for which it's legal. Okay? Think about it. All of these drugs are illegal. Alcohol is legal. Why is that? Despite the fact that it messes up people left, right, and center, and it creates alcoholics, it creates people that go into rages and fits and do horrible things. It's a very antisocial, anti-society drug, and yet it's legal, and you can find it anywhere at any time, right? With places that are open all the way through the night that can sell you stuff for you to drink. All of this stuff about the fact that drugs are not allowed because they're bad for you. Well, alcohol is bad for you, and it's allowed. It's allowed because it takes your consciousness in a ditch. And if you drink a lot of alcohol, your energy field is like Swiss cheese, and you will have entities of all kinds that are plugging into you and using you as their B-I-C-T, whatever. B-T, V-I-T. I can't even spell it. Right. I'm too polite for that.
Right. Such a lady. Anyway. Lady Galante.
You're right. So anyway. So basically, if you can pull in these higher aspects of consciousness, and if you can truly understand the laws of metaphysics and the laws of manifestation, which are neutral, by the way, they're like the laws of physics. They don't belong to the dark side. They don't belong to the light side. They just are. It's the how creation works, right? And if you can get into esoteric knowledge and if, of the neutral kind, And if you can raise your consciousness so that you can tap into more of who you are, including your reconnection with the source energy, call it God, call it source, call it like central command energy of the universe, call it like originator consciousness, you can call it whatever you want. When you make that connection at the energetic level, it really strengthens. It's almost like an immune system for the energy field, right? Makes you stronger. Your life starts moving better and so on. In some ways, this is the, you know, I do all of this talking work and then I do my healing work. My healing work is very aimed at this, at like getting people back into their wholeness, but also reconnecting them to the fullness of who they are on all dimensions, right? Okay. Very often people have a whole bunch of trauma that they need to undo before they can do that effectively. But ultimately, that is the goal. The goal is to reconnect them to their own light, you know, and to their own knowledge and essence. Now, this part is so important to the powers that be, New World Order, Dark Elite, whatever you want to call them, Dark Magicians, last level of the 32 layers of the basement, right? It's so important to them that when Atlantis went down and the reboot happened, they went out of their way to torture and exterminate all of the people that were carriers of the light side of the knowledge. Okay? So they kept the dark side of the knowledge. And the light side of the knowledge is only inside of the DNA of the people that have reincarnated with it. But in terms of it being in the world and practiced and all the rest of it, it's not there. Not to its fullest extent, anyway. There's small little pockets that have continued, but it's not present in the way in which it was present before the fall. Okay? So reclaiming that is actually a really important part of the journey, which is why my site is called Reclaiming the Light, because it's about reclaiming the part of humanity and of the human being that had to go underground after the fall and bringing it back into the now, right? So the so it's an important piece, and it's the piece that is in some ways least understood, right? Although there are a lot of people that have their own connection and memories and that figure it out anyway, right? But in general, it is still the part that is least understood, and it's also the key to our own freedom, because once we truly understand who we are from a multidimensional level, because the human being was always designed to be 12th dimensional, the human body was designed to be 12th dimensional, it wasn't designed to be this just physical vehicle, it was designed to be something that could connect at much higher levels, right? And that's part of what the genetic manipulations that happened around the Atlantean time were actually, and prior to that, were actually about. They were about shutting down the multidimensionality. They were about shutting down the potential of the human being and turning him into just a being that produces and works and reproduces. Right? So
that's not very different from how they still are, because that's still the plan.
That's still the plan.
A self-reproducing slave bot that can be sold en masse to Galactic Enterprises Incorporated.
Absolutely. Well, their plan is always the same, right? In some ways, their plan is always the same. They want to, on a very mundane level, they want control of this plane. We are a slave race that produces for them, that they keep herded in, emotionally and mentally and spiritually, in a very small container so that we can be very easily pushed around and told what to do. And we're used to doing that, so we do. And we don't really expand much beyond certain kinds of boundaries. When we do, such as a shift point in consciousness time, right now, then they crank up the mind control machine like they have been doing for the past 100 years. They start polluting everything, and I'm not just talking on the physical level, I'm talking even on the spiritual level. They start polluting everything So they throw even more demonic images at you. They throw toxic sexuality at you. They throw pornography at you. They throw, you know, artists that shake their booty in a certain way. And not that it's bad to do that, but it keeps everybody in the lower chakras, right? Keep everybody in the first three chakras of security, safety, and fear. Sexuality, but not inspired sexuality. It's kind of a low vibe sexuality, and disempowered, and you keep them all in the first three chakras. That way, nobody goes into the third eye and the crown. Nobody goes into the heart chakra, and you keep everybody resonating within this very specific band, right, of energy, which feeds them on one level. Energetically, it feeds them. But also, it's not just about the feeding. It also keeps you controllable, okay? Because once people really truly discover who they are and their own truth, and they start getting guided by higher principles, you can't control them anymore. And there's growing numbers of us that can't be controlled anymore. But there's still a lot that can. And if we go back to the concept of initiation, right? This is a multi-lifetime, thousands of lives long initiation process through which humanity, every 13,000 so years, has the opportunity to break through and go to the next level, right? And to do that, it has to break through the mind control, it has to find its true self, and it has to break free and find its sovereignty, right?
That's about the sum of it, yeah.
That's right. And in the past, it has failed many times. Does it matter? No, we're still here. We just do it again until we get it, right? But now we have more than ever the consciousness and the awareness to break through. What we need next, as the next ingredient, is the fortitude to break through. So we have the consciousness and the awareness, right? Now we need the fortitude to actually do it. It's almost like the action of doing it, okay? So on the one hand, you can say, Ebola, nasty, oh, you know, it's bad, blood rituals, death, everything, right? But on another level, it's like, okay, and here's the test. How are we going to approach this? What are we going to do? It's an opportunity to break through the battered wife syndrome. You know? Battered humanity syndrome. It's our opportunity to do that. It's our opportunity to go into the higher level. We can do it. And, you know, the opponent is worthy, like it's not like a piddly opponent, but it's also an opponent that uses a lot of trickery and illusion to get the job done. And we can break through that too. Okay?
Yes. We're beginning to, I mean, it's like I've been using this analogy for a long time, but is the idea that a long time people have been on in the audience of the show, and recently people are now stepping up onto the stage of the show to see how it's being done.
Yes.
And you're seeing in the wings, you're seeing all these people who are pulling levers and you know, making string happen and flying people. And that's, and it's all done through very mechanical, very regular means. No magic is involved, but it looks like magic. And it's, mm-hmm. And now people are beginning to get the consciousness of the magician themselves, the conjurer, understanding yes. how it's done. And learning to recognize it when it happens, as it happens, as opposed to, well, 10 years ago in 9/11, da 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 da. Hey, look, tomorrow there's going to be a thing, because we now recognize that they're going to do it on some kind of satanic festival. You know, we can see their plan. We can see it all, kind of almost predict what's going to happen next.
Absolutely. And the next stage is don't let it happen at all.
That's right. You know? Well, call it before it happens, yeah.
That's right. That's right. So we're getting there. Progress. Yay. We are getting there. Only five times 13,000, 50. What is 5 times 13,000?
So 52,000. 65,000. 65,000. That's a pretty... Yeah, anyway, but it... Look, it's harder down here than you might imagine, guys. You know, to actually get something like this off the ground. What do you think? Oh, I don't know.
No, just a couple of false starts, right?
Yeah, they no, Katie, they just expect too much, and that's why they're disappointed. And it's all about you know, you can't expect too much. This is Earth, by the way. You have to remember this. This is the place where shit happens in the worst possible circumstance, and that's part of the that's part of the game, it seems.
Apparently, it's a PhD planet. No, seriously, it's where people get their, you know, it's like, oh, did you go to Vietnam? Did you go to Earth? You know, afterwards they're like, there's special bars in the higher dimensions for people like us.
Oh, that's nice. That's something to look forward to.
It's thousands of years to recover from each lifetime.
Yeah, I could do with a couple of lifetimes of just foot massage. Nothing else.
That's right. Pina colada lifetimes, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's not going to happen. Cause,
I actually don't drink, and I've never had a pina colada, but it sounds good.
It's lovely. No, it's... I think you probably have. It's called a Malibu.
Oh, right. No, I haven't had one of those either. I really don't drink very much. So.
It's... what is it? A coconut liqueur? With a... hang on, what's the other thing? It's not banana. Pineapple. It's pineapple liqueur and coconut juice, or coconut liqueur and pineapple juice. One of those the other way around. I think it's the coconut liqueur, yeah, because it's milky. Yeah.
Okay.
It's very nice. It's very, very sweet and yummy. Very, very nice. So, yes. Right, so Malibus are quite nice. So, anyway.
On that note. It's my time.
Yes. It's your time. Thank you so much, Katie. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Then the next time we'll do the big 60s job if I'm up to it. I've been preparing this whole 60s material for a while now. I actually think I'm going to write about it at some point.
Because there's so much interesting. You know, the other day we had on the station a guy who was from a band that I'd never heard of called Lothar and the Hand People. Right? And you can Google them on YouTube. You can YouTube them. And they are a band. They influenced people like Hendrix in terms of the sounds they were making. And they indeed didn't have an electric guitar player or a lead guitar player. They had a theremin.
Interesting.
And so... It was a very interesting conversation. This guy, he's like me. He's like another me. We got so much in common. Because I indeed have a theremin. I would like to demonstrate my theremin right here on air in front of you. Right? So let's just tune it in. So, you have to tune it down to the lowest. So, can you hear that? Did that come out all right?
It did.
Because it's an amplifier on the other side of the room. I put it through my guitar pedal so I can control its volume and echo and things. But, it's a great fun thing. And it's called a theremin after the name of the guy who invented it. And it's 100 years old. It's a really old electronic musical instrument. And... And it's the sound that everybody recognizes, the sound that was used on, like, every movie from the 1950s and 60s that involved something eerie. That was the eerie sound.
Excellent.
So this band had one of those, and they inspired all these people. It's fantastic. An interesting guy. Anyway.
Very interesting, yeah.
So that's what's been going on for me. So I believe that theremin's a therapy. I've been letting everybody have a play on it because it sweeps frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, it's an audible audio frequency sweeper for... You can clear energies out of yourself by just going... It's really nice.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. It's good fun. Anyway.
Yep.
Right, I'll let you go. Thank you very much, Katie. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, will we? When's the next set schedule?
Yep. I think, my health is kind of in check now. I've been taking a lot of iron and my blood is back to normal. And so I should be good to go, okay?
Excellent. Your blood is strong, my dear.
My blood is strong now.
Shungite is the gateway, says Nancy. I'm going to bring Nancy in a second. Sweetheart, thank you so much. And
Have a wonderful rest of the day with your thing, and we'll talk later, okay?
With my thing. I'll enjoy playing with my... let's just put a couple of seconds on, and then I'll be back. Let's just go above the clouds for a second. Here we go. Right. Yeah, welcome back to Ever Beyond. And we've had a quick Skype changeover, and my esteemed guest this afternoon is now Nancy Hopkins. Hello, Nancy. How are you?
Very good, Che. I love the show. Katie was really good. I mean, she was... I like her a lot. I like the way she thinks.
Yeah.
Her knowledge is impressive.
She's an awesome, awesome person. And, so we've been playing with... where do we go? Wolf Baby was over last night, and last week we were making shungite jewelry, and I was making some twisted copper forms. You know what we've been talking about, these things that Walter's turned me on to, actually. Dropped it off on the thing there. Essentially what it is a coil that kind of connects back on itself. It kind of winds around for a while and then kind of zips back and zooms back and kind of recirculates. And that coil is made out of a twisted material.
You got something feeding in? I'm sorry. I've got the radio on. Okay.
Yeah, it's your TV.
I'm going like, what am I hearing? Let me just get this out of
here.
Yeah, deja vu.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I've had a couple of deja vus today. I felt a bit weird. I don't know how everybody is, but I feel better now. I've been making these resonant coil things, and perhaps part of the weirdness. And I'm not sure if these coils have been warding off sort of external weirdnesses, or they've been resonating new energies for us. But it feels like a certain kind of... the good old fashioned detox is going on, or something. I don't know. What's been going on for you?
I have to say that yes, the statement you just made about every time we make a new device that there's a change in reality. It's reality is what we think it is, and if we create these devices, we're thinking that they're really having an impact on reality. Otherwise, what are we doing this for? I mean, you know. Just for our own amusement? No, we're actually feeling energy. So those energies get imbued into the reality that we're creating. So it's not just fun and games. It's actually a very important mission that the guides are having us on, because if you're like Walt and myself, you get these pictures in your head about devices, about energy that you really have to act on. And just like Katie was saying before, it's like, we're at a new threshold of reality creating, and I believe that the playing field has been essentially equaled because of the gift of Gaia that Gaia gave us in the form of Shungite. Because Shungite can do so many magical things, and the more we study it, the more we realize that, I mean, if you take this stuff, you should use alcohol and how alcohol is so damaging to us. But if you put Shungite into alcohol, it'll taste better, it'll feel better in your mouth, but you won't get a buzz on it. It's like it doesn't let these negativities, these things happen. But we're building, every time you build one of those devices, it does impact. I've actually got one of the Shungite spirals of Walt. And one of the problems that we have when we're building these things is that, yeah, I got the same thing in my hand, you know?
We're just like being evangelists, holding up to the screen, to the webcam. Yeah.
I wish they could see this for video right
now. Yeah, well, actually, one day we will be able to do this. We'll be having Wolf Spirit TV. The technology exists. It's just a matter of time to hook it up. But we can work on Google and become video roundtables as well. So, and that would be marvelous to be able to do that. I mean, we've done some creation using screen sharing, and it's so wonderful to be able to do. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so but one of the problems that we have with any of these devices is that people who are energy sensitive or have extraordinary imaginations can see and feel the energies coming off the devices. But until we got Walt's little spiral, we really didn't have a way for the average person to actually realize that there is an energy transfer, something is happening. Because when you work with these Shungite spirals, and initially I did not realize it because I wasn't really working with mine, I wasn't holding it, I wasn't touching it. I was told to put it someplace, I didn't touch it, but then I got some more of them, so I started playing with this one. And one of the things that happens with these things, just like he talked about when he made that first resonator, was that they get cold. You can actually feel a temperature change. And depending on the person that is operating it, it'll get really, really cold. Diane, she couldn't, her hands were so cold from holding it that she couldn't believe it. Another person who is kind of a novice, I don't think she's so much as a novice, but she doesn't really talk about the energies that she does perceive, but she started working with the spiral, and she got it so cold that she was sitting in a room, everybody else is sweating, and she's going, "No, I'm cold," because she had it on her. And then when she was getting out of the car, she put it inside her blouse under her bra. And when she got into the house, which, you know, she emptied out the car a little bit and got back inside the house, she actually had like almost like a burn mark that was from the Shungite spiral. And it was like only the top layer of the skin. And I said, "Well, it might have been a freezer burn." I said, "Was it cold when all this happened?" And it was like, "Oh, you know." Then we've got the situation. Same girl happened to her. She ended up getting herself a sunburn. So the devices that he's making are actually affecting us at the 3D in a palatable way. I mean, he has measured the change of the energy and the coldness by centigrade. Centigrade? Fahrenheit?
1 degree centigrade, yeah.
Yeah, 1 degree centigrade. So that's where we're at with these new devices, is that they're actually taking us into a different field of energy. Now, they're only devices. I mean, that's what they are. But when you project your consciousness into the field of the spiral, you actually intensify it, enhances your own consciousness. You can focus better. You can see things clearer. It's like a sharpness comes into your mind. And because you're at a heightened level of consciousness, you're actually more powerful. So not only have we sort of like evolved to a point of understanding, we now have devices through Shungite. It's a gift from Gaia, the Earth Mother. We only find it one place in the world that is just leveling the field. You know, they can come up with all their exotic weapons and their mind control things, but if people start to open up their minds and heart to what Shungite can be, if we don't believe in magic, by definition, something unexplained, if we don't believe in it right now, we're never going to get out of the quandary that they've got us into. So, you know, it's like I keep harping on Shungite, because when I listen to people like Katie, who are very, very specific in their analysis of what they see and what they think is we're capable of, the problem is how do you get to a point where you can actually counteract the intense and immense power that the dark side has been able to actually build over these last hundreds, at least 200 years.
Here's the thing. It's like they have been affecting us in ways that we could not even detect. We couldn't detect it with our visible light, with our eyes, with our anything. Except people who have had damage in certain aspects. So some people who might have had hearing damage in the higher regions might hear things lower. Or people who are colorblind might see things higher. You know, I'm personally quite good at discerning blue, whereas most of the women that I know are very good at discerning red. And I'm not very good at discerning red. You know scarlet, vermilion, you know. And so I think it's not like I'm blind. It's just that I see a different band. You know, nobody knows that if everybody's seeing the same thing, what distribution of red, green, and blue we all see.
That's so, what I thought. Yeah, that's because the green that you see might be the red that I see. We don't know because there's no basis to test it.
That's right. That's right. Who can say? So, we have been attacked on all levels. Actually, something I was wanting to talk with Katie about, but since you're an electronic weapon specialist, sonic weapons have been in the news recently. You know, but we know that they've been around for a long, long time, and so we're attacked on audio frequencies. We also know that harp and high frequencies, radio frequency levels of things, also have been used against us. So we're attacked on ultrasonic and EMF radiation that is harmful to us. And we even invite it into our own homes by having Bluetooth transmitters and Wi-Fi and all of these things that, you know, produce this soup around us that is disharmonious to us. And we know that we can counteract that using Shungite, but audio levels need other things. You know, there are many things we need to plug up the different holes. But I think, you know, one of the very important holes is the ones that we can't see. What did you come across when you were working with these? Because, you know, you only discovered this microwave beam by way of some other thing. You know, the people were getting ill, weren't they? And so. What else have you come across in those years that you can talk about without getting shot?
Well, at that time, I didn't have any knowledge of the manipulation of energy to do damage from the military standpoint. I mean, that was not something. See, I was the I had access to any information on any foreign country. But I had really no need to know what America could do. So in many ways, I was blind to what the Americans were doing in any of this stuff. Plus, it's all black ops anyway. So it wasn't until I got out I was in the military, and I've told this story before, but it's really an intriguing story. I was in the military, and Time magazine had an article about the army or military's, they shoot goats, don't they? The ones that
the men who stare at goats.
Yeah. The remote viewing thing. And when I discovered that because of the Time magazine thing, and I was using telepathy to basically spy on the Soviets. I went to a full colonel that was a friend of mine and said, you know, can you check into this organization and I'd like to contact them. And he came back and he was actually very, very scared. He said, don't ever do that to me again, because he was told that it was none of his business and that if he ever mentioned it again, he could get into a lot of trouble. And this is a full bird colonel. That's one step down from a general. So I thought, well, this is really interesting. But like I was well experienced at long-range telepathy. So I basically did a long-range intrusion on this particular American group. And I learned a lot about how they worked and what they thought, etc. And then when I got out of the military, I actually ended up with one of the people that was part of this organization. And he sent me on a remote journey to find out about a particular device that I didn't even know what the device was about. There was a component of it that he showed me a picture of, and he said, can you find out what this is? And I, yeah, okay. But I had not done any remote viewing in a long time, and it took a while to get to that headspace where I really attempted it. And when I did, and I failed, because all I saw were Nazi symbols, I mean, like swastikas all over the place, and an intense fear. And I tried three times to break through this wall, and I just couldn't get through it. And that's because they basically, when they are protecting against psychic viewers, they have psychics who feel the signal coming in, and they jam it. They jam it with their own minds. They put up symbols that will incite fear in you so that you can't operate, because if you're fearful, you cannot operate. And so that's exactly what I confronted. But when I got back and talked to him, I said, you know, you sent me on this mission, and I should have asked you what the hell I was getting into. But he said that this was a device that was basically a psychic weapon, and that because of my intrusion, they didn't know who or where my signal had come from, and apparently it was so strong, for a lot of reasons I have a very, very strong signal, and they decided that they were just going to go operational. And so within 48 hours of me trying to get through, they had psychics all over the world dying. They some of them just dropped dead. Some of them went mentally deranged, and there was at least two instances where there was a flash of light and they disappeared. And he said that this is how this weapon works. It works on the frequency field of the individual. You really have to kind of tune it to the individual. You can make a bunch of them sick by tuning it to a general frequency, or you could tune it to knock one guy down in the middle of a crowd, as long as you had the exact blueprint of this guy's energy, bioelectromagnetic field, because all they do is they disrupt it. And interestingly enough, that disruption, in the case of the ones that just go into a flash of light and disappear, is similar to what happened with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the bioelectromagnetic field that holds the cellular construction of the body together loses its molecular cohesion. The glue holding it together is the bioelectromagnetic field. So when you disrupt that field, especially if you're dead on in disrupting it in one, boom, the whole thing goes, you have an explosion of light. And in the case of Jesus, the explosion of light when his bioelectromagnetic field was altered scorched the Shroud of Turin. And that scorching was because Jesus went through resurrection, and at the time of that, when this happened, resurrection was defined as an instantaneous incarnation. So basically what he had was that your soul is not limited to putting out one person in, you know, what's today's date, October 12th, 2014. My soul may have, you know, thousands, maybe millions of versions of me, because the only thing you have to keep in mind is place and space. And place is a time coordinate, you know, Earth on this particular date. But a space is your individual body. So as long as you have different spaces, you can have as many, for all I know, there's only one spirit out there just projecting all of these sub-spirits in order to experience life, and that's probably God. But in the case of the energies that are associated with the psychic weapon machinery, this is just a like a blueprint, like an energetic blueprint. So if you attack it and you jam the frequency, it loses its molecular cohesion of the physical body. Now, if it's only slightly off, you might get something might go wrong in your body. Your heart might fail. Or you might have a mental breakdown. But if it's absolutely perfectly on, boom, there's a scorching. I mean, it looks like a fire. So in Jesus' case, when he died at the bioelectromagnetic field level, there was an alteration in that field that no longer matched the physical body of Jesus Christ, but did match somebody who was also being simultaneously projected by his spirit. And when the women went into the Garden of Eden, they saw a man that they thought was the gardener. Now, they know what Jesus looks like, and they probably may have known what the gardener looks like, but they saw the gardener until he spoke to them. And what I say is that when there was this instantaneous incarnation, the physical body of Jesus Christ went up in a flash of light when the bioelectromagnetic field got altered. That bioelectromagnetic field now was absolutely perfect to somebody who was probably the gardener, and he just went into that body. So that when he, in his consciousness, everything that was Jesus is now again alive, but because it has stepped in or walked in to another body. And that body goes up to Mary and the apostles and said, no, it's me. And how do they know that? Not because of the way that he looked, but because of the things that he knew and said. So this psychic weapon machinery they can make it so that, you know, you have an Ebola outbreak somewhere. You'll have a flu breakout, because those flu and all of this stuff is frequencies. You set the frequency up, and all of a sudden somebody's feeling really sick because you're setting it up, because this is an energy universe. And that's where it gets really interesting. If you look at it as an energy universe, then you realize that magic is just the manipulation of energy. So that was a long, drawn-out answer to your question. I'm not sure if I answered it.
Well, it was about the different kind of psychotronic weapons that can be used against us. I mean, one of the things that came to mind when I was talking with Katie earlier is that, like, this multiple level upon which we're attacked, you know. And here's another one. And I'm not sure if you have any knowledge or experience about this, but I'm just going to throw it out there, because it's a subject of conversation between me and Wolf Baby, and the thought is one of the problems of the food that we eat is this thing called yeast, and the yeast was used to make bread and beer and things, and that it's also used to forms as this thing we call candida, and candida seems to have the same effect as cancer, And so we can maybe equate the two, so that cancer comes from down this long line of yeast. Now, yeast came all the way from Egypt, didn't it? Because everybody else had flat bread, but Egypt had risen bread because it was given to them by the gods, this yeast. So now we've got this poison that has been given to us by the gods. Any thoughts on that, Nancy?
Never thought about it before. I mean, I've never thought about the connection of the fact that it came out of Egypt and their relationship. Everything that came out of Egypt came from the gods. Otherwise, it's a technological discovery. But again, in my reality, you can change those energies. You know, if you realize that some of the stuff, like everybody gets really involved in what's good for you to eat and what's bad for you to eat, but if you work in an energy universe and you work very closely with the nature spirits, you know, you can change anything that you're going to take into your body into something that's pure. But A, you have to bother to do it, and B, you have to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, it's not that it's not going to happen, but you're not going to allow yourself to realize it. Because that would be an attack on your own belief system. So I would think that this is, because, I mean, cancer is a fungus. Have you heard about that doctor, and I can't remember his name, who uses baking soda to treat cancer? Because baking soda, fungus can't live in baking soda in an alkaline environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically as an overall acidification of the human race. In the way that, you know, we're fed sugar, we grew up in it. It wasn't not normal to not eat sugar, to eat sugar. It was normal. Everybody ate sugar, you know. Everybody, when I was a child, would smoke cigarettes. Everybody ate meat. Everybody da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, but since then, our attitudes have changed because we realize what's been going on. And nothing seems safe anymore. Everything seems poisoned, doesn't it? When did fluoride start getting in the water? I mean, this is a long time, isn't it?
1955, I think it was the mid-50s. That was a situation where, I think it was the Eisenhower administration, and he had this guy that was, gosh, what was he? He was one of the cabinet members. I'm not even sure which one, like one of the lower levels ones. And he had been the lawyer for the aluminum companies. And he convinced everybody that you had to put the fluoride in the water to protect the children's teeth. But in reality, it was saving the aluminum companies thousands or millions of dollars in getting rid of this very toxic chemical called fluoride. This is all true, you know, and they bought into it. And so for all these years, we've been putting the fluoride in the water to, A, supposedly help the kids' teeth. But the reality is why would you put forced medication on an entire population in order to protect the teeth of children? That's not very, you know, democratic. That's very fascist. That's the state telling you what you're going to do. Again, going back to Katie and the vaccination things. So, but everybody bought into it. Why? Because at the time, you didn't believe that the government would do something that evil. And that is a problem that specifically Americans have, is that they really have a hard time understanding evil. Just evil. And so the fluoride, I mean, it's like, yes, but see, Lancer magazine, one of the most esteemed medical magazines, has come out about 2 weeks ago now and said that fluoride is a neurotoxin. Because in reality, these kids, they never proved that it was helping their teeth. That's one thing. People think that because they've been told that, but it's not true. There is no scientific data saying that. And if you look at the warning on any kind of toothpaste, it says, if you take like a pea-sized hunk of the toothpaste and you swallow it, go to medical care because you poisoned yourself. because of the fluoride in it. It's got to be fluoride toothpaste. But you also have a situation where the fluoride is actually 80% of the fluoride that the kids are taking into their bodies is actually going into their bones. And it's very damaging to children. So people are waking up to this, and this is one of those critical things, because if you wake up to this, there is no scientific data that can say to you, this is a good thing. None. So you can win the battle in a logic standpoint. But the problem that I see happening is that you have government bodies, whether it be a county or a state or a city, that the people on it just cannot imagine that what this person is telling them is true, the anti-fluoride people, because that jeopardizes their belief in the system of, well, nobody would do this. They don't understand evil. All the data is on the side of the people saying we got to get this out of the water, and yet these fools continually say, well, we're not going to do that. They don't want to make that decision. And I think it's because people don't understand that there is incredible evil out there. And just, you know, own it. It's, yeah, there's some evil. We got to figure out how to get rid of it, how to deal
well,
with it.
Well, it's and I think this is something that I've been saying for quite a long while now, is that the battle's inside us, because there's some part of us that is allowing it to happen, and that part of us is unconscious. We're not conscious of it. And it comes out, you know, we have our little meltdowns, and we discover that we've been under an unconscious influence through this meltdown, you know, that led up to that meltdown. And we're able to move through it and let it go and move on. Oh, that hurts.
Only if you can move through fear.
Yes, and that's the thing.
That's a fear. It's a fear that's controlling people.
But it's often the fear is worse than the thing itself.
It always is. 99% of what you're afraid of never comes true, so why'd you waste your time?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, think about it. If you just analyze your own life, you know, it's like we worry about this stuff that never happens. The stuff that happens is the stuff you never thought about. You know, so, but she didn't have to worry about it. And fear is completely debilitating. And if you just say, what's the point in being fearful? Let's just get through this. You got a lot of power. Because when you're fearful, you're actually giving up your power to somebody who is making you afraid. If you want to blame somebody for the evils that we have in the world, you're giving up your power to somebody else. You're saying, those people are making me do that. And I'm firmly convinced that we have to come to a point of empowering ourselves. And to do that, we have to say, no, whatever the problem is, it's because of some kind of a malfunctioning aspect of humanity. Let's look at humanity. For irregardless of where the source is coming from, humanity is allowing it to happen. And then, you know, the fear thing. It's like, it doesn't happen. I mean, this Ebola thing. They're making it out to be this terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. You know, when they had the swine flu, it was a terrible thing. But if you looked at the data, it wasn't a terrible thing. You know, more people die of the flu than this or that or the other thing they say. But when that's just a normal, you know, outbreak of flu. So when you see these big things that aren't even matching the normal outbreak of flu, it's just not a big deal. You know, and they lie, and they get people in a state of fear.
So product development and product placement. Ebola is a product, and it's got a patent number, and the cure is a product, and it's being provided for. It's suddenly been discovered, huh? Really? You know about how long medicines take to create from lab discovery to on the shelves. As you know, you would understand how to. You'd have to market it. You'd have to come up with testing plans and all that sort of stuff. If you're going to market a cure or any kind of medicine, there's a long process to because it's supposed to be safe.
Well, Bill Cooper in Behold the Pale Horse, he talks about the AIDS situation, and he said that they didn't inject the population with AIDS until they actually had something that would counteract it, a cure.
Of course. And, you know, if we see something that is repeated more than three times on TV, it's not real. They're trying to convince us of something. And I tell you, I've seen samples of American TV, and to my little sheltered mind, it's mind-numbing. It's damaging. It's like my eyeballs bleed at the sheer pressure of information and selling and persuasion that is levered my way. hats off to you guys for being able to withstand that.
So you don't in Scotland, at least, they don't have that much in-your-face advertising that's bizarre. You've got this rash thing, but we can take it away. Of course, you might have diabetes or cancer or a heart attack, or you might have a stroke, or you might just die. You know, but you've got this thing. You don't have that. Oh, God.
I don't have that. The medicines are very, very heavily promoted in America, and we don't get anything like that. Especially with all the little fast talking at the end. Results may vary. It's not so much like that. But again, I don't watch TV. I've stopped watching TV. I don't need to watch TV. I have no need for it. I don't have one. And I'm certainly not going to pay for the privilege of not using one. That's what, in Britain, people are charged for a TV license. If you have a TV set or something that can receive television signals. So I do my best not to make any visible antennae. But they, you know, they want to charge you for the propaganda that the BBC are pumping out. I'm really sorry.
Well, there's more of us than them, and more of us are waking up, and so hopefully this can be, you know, changed drastically, because it just is stupid.
Yeah, well, this is a JPBC.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
So, yes. So where are we? 16, 18? We've gone through the hour. I fancy taking a quick break because I need to stir-fry some some vegetables just in a minute. So let's have a little tune. What's that? Albacadabra. This is a Celtic rock tune by Albanach. Albacadabra. Welcome back to Ever Beyond on the 12th of October 2014. 12-10-14. So, here we are. Nancy Hopkins and I were discussing the makeup and the the breakup and the remakeup of our reality. So, I'm just looking at these two devices that was, you know, these devices, right? So the devices help us to focus the central core of us. You know, it's like a bit like we're in a storm in a very small boat, and it's raining, there's wind blowing, and we're trying to type on a smartphone. It's like trying to achieve that level of concentration doing that. Nancy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
given that we got such a difficult window to kind of try and hold all these spiritual bodies together with all these electromagnetic waves impinging on us, it's like we need to be able to clear that frequency that the soul is coming in on. Have you come across that sort of where does that window occur? Do you have any research on that?
Well, I think it's a pineal gland. I think that's where it anchors in.
And that goes back to the fluoride.
And that goes back to the fluoride, because that's what's attacked by the fluoride. In the pineal gland, there's this thing called microcalcite crystals, and they are piezoelectric in that they will vibrate. They will respond to other frequencies around them. Pressure is a frequency. Sound is a frequency. Other frequencies are frequencies. So pineal's calcite microcrystals start to vibrate. If they're clear, they're continually vibrating, and that vibration is a gateway to your higher self. It connects you to the faster-than-speed lights. But fluoride gets in there and gunks up the whole thing, and it prevents the crystals from actually vibrating. And in the field of shungite, the pineal gland, the calcite, starts to react to the shungite vibration, and then actually will break up the fluoride crap. So that's one of the reasons that people that start to work with shungite, it may take a while, but they go through drastic changes. And the main reason is that they're accessing higher information because they're connecting through the pineal gland to their higher selves. It's just energy fields. It's like you have to be able to connect to an energy field through some mechanism. And in the body, I believe it's the pineal gland, which is the first gland that they see in the development of a brain in a fetus. That's the first thing they see. The first gland in the body is the pineal gland. And it's only the size of a pea. And it's in the middle of our brain. And it looks very much like an eye, which, oddly enough, the ancients called it the third eye. But it has a similar molecular structure, or cell, let's say 3D structure, to an eye. It's a fascinating subject.
You mean it's got retina-like capabilities?
It's got the cells for that. In
but
other words,
they're not.
The actual structure of it is made from the same cells that make up the eye, and the same structure of it.
Yeah. But it's in the middle of your head where you don't expect to see much light, do you?
Right.
So what can penetrate that deep?
The thing of it is that we're in an energy universe. You're working at speeds that look like the 3D, and that means we're all vibrating at the same thing, so we can see them as solid. But the vast majority of the universe is working faster than below the speed of light, which is the 3D threshold. And it was really interesting that our lovely Teresa, the Long Island medium, she was on Dr. Oz's show. And they convinced her to put what looked like a bathing cap on her head and have her brain scanned in a normal conversation, talking to Dr. Oz and getting the information from the brain, taking a picture of it, and then having her do a psychic reading of somebody. And in her case, she just connects, the dog is drinking water, you're probably hearing it over the radio, but she talks to dead people. She's a medium. So when you think of what she's doing, you kind of expect that her brain is going to light up. And what happened was that they took the picture of her in a normal state, and there was all this light in the brain, and you could see the entire framework of her brain. But then when she turned into the medium, the light in her brain just went black. I mean, she was dark. There wasn't anything happening at the slower than light speeds. So it's the same sort of thing, is that you're working in speeds that are just beyond the 3D. That's all. And if you have a gateway like the pineal, then you can access those faster than lights. In Teresa's case, she somehow is able to change her, let's say, her dialer, her tuner, to the frequencies that of the people that are already operating higher than light speeds. And when she does that, that's where her focus, she's working higher than light speeds. They can't read those. So her brain looked like nothing was happening.
So essentially, she went ultraviolet.
Probably. Because there does seem to be an awful lot of things you can see in the ultraviolet spectrum.
I'd love to have her ultraviolet spectacles. You know,
that kind of scares me.
That'd be really interesting, wouldn't it? Because that's where I believe, you know, fourth dimension, fifth dimension is ultraviolet, and the octave above that, and the octave above that, and we don't see that. Whether our eyes have been kind of dumbed down or locked into this single rainbow that we were talking before, you know, I think it's a very interesting avenue to explore, is the blue zone of light.
Well, it's just the human being doesn't have the sensors to be able to see that that spectrum. So we have to use devices to be able to see that spectrum. And in that, yeah.
Sorry. For instance, we use that when we look at the sun. We look at the extreme ultraviolet, they call it.
And then you see the real action happening.
That's right. When you look at this, I'm looking here. SOHO, 17.1 nanometers, 19.5 nanometers, 28.4 nanometers, 30.4 nanometers. I mean, these are all really, really high frequencies, considering that when you look at visible light, blue light is 300 nanometers. So we're looking like 10 octaves above light that we can see, and that's, as you're saying, that's where the real action in the solar spectrum is, and this is where all these really fabulous photos come from when we look at the action on the sun. So when you're not actually looking at anything that is visible to our eyes, that's why you can't see these little blobs that, you know, burst off the sun. You can't see them because they're happening on such a high frequency that only instruments that we managed to only recently build using crystal technologies is able to look at and see.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about the EMF, you know, why people can't understand that electromagnetic energy and Wi-Fi energy and microwave energy, they're all the same thing. They're just different frequencies. It's so damaging to the human body. It's because they can't see it. But the radiation from an atomic blast can kill you. Don't you understand? It's the same energy. Anything that is not natural to the Earth's natural bioelectromagnetic field is going to damage you because it puts you in a state of unbalance. And if people would just start looking at the energy universe, it would start making sense.
Well, you don't. Also, people are very, very familiar with microwaves hurting people, and you don't put your gerbil in the microwave to dry him off, because you know that that will kill him, unless you're really, really, really stupid. But apart from that, most people won't put their pets into the microwave, because everybody knows that that's the radiation that kills you. That's the same stuff as what comes off your mobile phone, folks. Maybe a little less intense, you know, a quarter watt instead of 650. But it's still the same juice, just like battery level.
It kills you just a little slower. You don't explode.
Just a little slower. You're cooked ever so slowly. Oh, and that's how they like you. Nice, slow cook, yeah. Especially tenderized.
Well, I believe that in the beginning of the medical x-rays, there were a lot of people that were killed by those.
Probably still are.
Well, they still are, yes, of course. You know, it's like, x-ray me, yes, I want some more of that radiation. Because what people don't realize is that, oh, that radiation is low level, but your body will adjust to a certain amount of it, but it's like a glass. As soon as it gets to a certain level and starts pouring over, that's when you're going to get deathly ill. And so there's only certain, and you can't there are ways, you'll find different ways of being able to get rid of it out of your body, but, you know, for most people, they wouldn't know the first thing about doing that. So anytime the people go in and have a dental x-ray, the mammogram, all these little radiation techniques that they do against you, it's killing you. It's killing you slow, but it's killing you. Your phone, if you look at the information packet that comes with your phone, it says keep your phone 5/8 of an inch away from your head. You ever see that? No, it's in the tiniest print. Why do they put it there? Because they know that it's damaging to you, and if there's ever a class action suit somewhere down in the future, they want to be able to say, we told you not to put it next to your head.
But they do that, but then they make the speaker so quiet that you have to push it right into your ear so you can hear what's going on. Yes, brain damage. We all got brain damage, and then there was lead in petrol when we were kids. I remember, well, I grew up on a main road, so that's me. I'm convinced that I've experienced heavy metal poisoning. Because my hair's fallen out, and I can't see too well, and my teeth are a bit weird. So I think it's I've experienced a lot of lead and mercury in my life. And, you know, when we were kids, I don't know about you, but when we were kids, we were always playing with mercury's break. Oh, Mum, broke a thermometer. Quick, let's get the mercury. What fun we can have with mercury. And wasn't every kid's carpet covered with little shiny globules at one time or another?
Oh, I remember playing with it. You know, but it's one thing to just play with stuff and get accidentally into it. I mean, but what they're doing is they're concertedly attacking us with it. They know what they're doing. You know, we just, like, go along with it. Oh, okay, if you say it's safe, it must be safe. No! Wake up, please. You know, because we don't need any of it. And again, you know, we were doing fine without GMO. You know, we were doing fine. And now you've got, look at what happened over in India. They put all that stuff in the ground, and the crops failed, and thousands of farmers ended up killing themselves. But you don't hear about that over here. The Haitians have a tremendous amount of problems over there still, and they went over there and said, we'll give you all this GMO seed. And the Haitians said, get out of here. They wouldn't take it. They don't want it. And if it worked, I'm sure the Haitians, but they understand the dangers of it and what it's done to the crops and the soil and the crops around it. And it's just, it's devastating and it's stupid.
It's a bit like encouraging the nutter on the bus. You never get rid of them.
Really? You know, and people, but they keep people in a state of need and fear. And so they don't want to. It's that old adage, you know, better to know this pickle I'm in now than to jump out of into something else. People are afraid to realize, well, we don't need to do that. Yeah.
Well, that's what just happened in Scotland, you know. Oh, no, better the devil we know. We'll vote no, because we know. We don't know.
Do you really think that was a legitimate vote?
I personally feel that there was a radical fix by MI5. I personally feel the actual vote number should be 57% in favour of independence. I personally feel that MI5 secret services have been involved and doing what they've been doing for the British government for time immemorial to the Scots. Yes, that's what I feel.
And others.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I'm here, but here I am. And I'm just doing my energy work, making me the devices, seeing what happens. Maybe I'll hang some in the trees, see what happens.
There's more and more devices coming out, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, I've had such a time, a lovely time, with the wire twisting thing. That to me is, it's very therapeutic. I don't know why, but for me it's very, very therapeutic. It's kind of like making order out of a disordered world.
Well, you're working with energies, knowingly working with energies, accepting that you're working with energies. And the more energies you bring into your environment, the stronger you get, because your body and your bioelectromagnetic field will resonate to the energies that are there. And if they're pure energies and they're powerful energies and they're energies that are outside of the 3D, coming from the quantum level, or you know, the ethers, or wherever you want to think, you're healing yourself. It's a healing process that you're doing. You may not understand it, and that's probably why you get I think I'm going to do this one, and then you go, well, now I'm going to do this one, because the series that you're going through is actually your higher self saying, okay, now we're going to tune it to this one because we need to tune this. And probably somebody else is getting the same messaging, but they're getting different devices in a different series, depending on what they need. Because we don't know, we only know what we're doing, you know. And there's you, and there's me, and there's Walt, and there's Diane. There's a whole bunch of people that we could name that have been building these things for a long time, and I'm sure that over the rest of the world there is millions of them building them too.
Yes, I think, all over the world. I mean, what does it take? It takes copper wire. Where's copper wire? Everywhere. You know, your house is built with it. And the best stuff is the stuff that they use to wire up showers and electric cookers, because it's really thick copper wire. Walt has gotten hold of some really, really, really thick stuff, which he probably used to wire up trains and things. It's juicy, gorgeous copper wire you got. You can thicken up your wire, like I say, by twisting it together, and that creates an organ. It kind of balances the energy, because you got a downflow and an upflow, and so it caters for energy going in both directions, really. That's what I've seen. Is that right? I don't quite really understand how it all works yet, completely. But it's to do, and I can see that these two things that I've got here, I've got one long one, one short one, and it's about the different frequencies, isn't it? You were telling me about this.
Well, the wire, the length of the wire really dictates the frequency, just like in an antenna. Antennas look differently because they're intercepting different signals, different frequencies. So the length of any given wire. Now, Walt, when he's making a device, he goes on a shamanistic journey, and he finds out from the guides exactly what the dimension or the length of the wire is to get a specific frequency. When I'm doing it, and probably when you're doing it, we're pulling out the wire and going, "Oh, that feels right," you know. So we're like playing at it compared to the scientific mind that he's got.
Well, what I was doing last night, I said, is it more than 25 inches? No. Is it more than 20 inches? Yes. Is it more than 22 inches? No. Is it? Yeah. And then I got it down to 21.25.
Okay. So
which is some kind of qubit.
Yes, you're doing exactly what he does. And I just don't, I like theory, you know. It's like, I don't do that. And that's why I'm so amazed that, you know, one of the things that I point out to people is that if I was wrong about Shungite, I just put up, and I should tell you guys this, that in cosmicreality.net, there's now a tab, and it says, "Well, Spirit." And if you click on that, it's going to take you to programs, the full programs, they haven't been edited, that JP and I did on Shungite. And it goes back to the very first, and so if you just follow from the first one up, and there's a lot of them there, you can see the development of how we understood about Shungite. But had I been wrong, had you been wrong about Shungite, then we wouldn't have Walt, who's taking the theory that we were discussing and then put it into practical devices. So, I mean, if I've got no other confirmation about Shungite, the fact that I've met Walt and he's building these incredible devices, you know, is enough for me to go with. But what were we talking about right before that? The wire. So it's the length of the wire that gives you the frequency. And as he explained, when you're twisting the wire, whether you're making a spiral or you're going up a pipe making a spiral, you want to keep the distance between the wires the same. And I work when I'm doing the pendant very, very hard to get that kind of like distance equal as I go up, because when we take the Shungite and we put the pendant, the wire around it, we're actually creating a device that is pulling in the argon into the shungite and making the field stronger. It's like you're feeding the field. The shungite field, when I first was measuring it, is only about 4 inches, you know, wide. But if you start doing energy things like he's doing, you're throwing the energy way out. You know, in some cases, some of the devices he's got is out miles. You know, these the ones that we're playing with now, the shungite spirit ones. This has a fields, but it connects back to the main field in Russia, and everything is linked. You know, they're all linked together. It's like this is a gateway to the mother field. That's what I feel when I'm working with it. I don't think of this as having its own individual consciousness. I think of it as a device that will lock me into the field in Russia. So the way that you're doing it, and you're measuring it out, and you're using the pendulum, I'm supposing to get the is more like what Walt does, and that's the way it has to be done. You know, because these things are scientific devices. The way I do it is just to prove a theory. But he's got the ability. He knows now, like, what's the length of the wire that corresponds to the frequency of a rose, or what's the length of the wire that corresponds to overcoming fear. In other words, it's whenever fear starts to come up, you get a feeling of everything is fine. I'm going to go on mute for a second.
So, of course, I had a mouthful of dinner. Well, so...
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I had a mouthful of dinner. I'm sorry. Just as you said that.
Okay.
I thought, oh, my good. God. Anyway.
But it is the length of the wire that is the controls the frequency. So, if we can figure out a way, we need to be able to put those frequencies into the earth grid in a dominant way, so that people, when they're attacked by this fear mongering, it's going to just simply go to love. They attack you with fear, your reaction is love, because we have to be able to become empowered. We have to take charge of our own bioelectromagnetic field. Walt also says that we have to claim our own dominion, meaning our own beingness, our own body. He uses the term, you know, claim your dominion. And that's basically what it is that every time you say, oh, that's making me afraid, why is it making you afraid? It's outside of you. You know, don't be afraid of something outside of you. Just feel comfortable in your own beingness, in your own little reality. And that's not to say that you're delusional and that, well, I don't know. I know some people that think everything is pretty wonderful, and they have some pretty wonderful lives in the middle of turmoil. So their reality is that people are good. And, you know, unfortunately, we know that there's another reality where people are really evil. And that's what's very difficult for these people to understand. So, you get into that kind of quandary of, do you disrupt their reality by saying, ooh, this is really bad, you're not paying attention? Or do you say, keep going that way, because you're feeding a good reality, a reality based on, you know, equality and love and respect. Have you finished eating? Apparently not. Okie dokie. So, here I am all by myself, and Jay is somewhere else.
So I had to put a log in the stove. It's always I'm gonna have to judge your sentences better.
Well, you know, it's,
I always seem to end when I'm in the kitchen rather than at the end of the.
You're on. How long are you on today as a producer?
I'm in the saddle for like 10 hours, and I do have to eat. Yeah, I know. You don't get
well,
much
what
time.
You need to do is you need to tell me that you're leaving and I will be more prepared to cover. I can extend any subject. So you tell me. You
know. Well, we're only 10 minutes from the show, so this is so it's been fun. Now, we've been looking at shungite blankets. So this is the latest project is a shungite blanket that you can lay on top of you. You don't want to, because it's made of sharp stones. But you lay it on top of you and surround yourself in the field. And so what we're looking at is the different arrangement of pieces of shungite on the blanket. What happens if you lay out pieces of shungite in grids? Are there different kinds of grids? And we experimented over the weekend with different kinds of grids. Square grids, diamond-shaped grids, triangular grids, grids based on a 3-inch triangle, grids based on a 2.5-inch square, you know. It was very, very interesting.
Well, what did you decide? It was one. Were they? Did you feel a difference in every pattern? Felt different.
Well, what we found is that generally, the ones that were square were a kind of relaxing, and the ones that were based on a triangular were stimulating. And so, this is what we found. I used to be part of a group that built stuff like this. We made magnetic mats with grids of copper tape with magnets at the nodes, and if they were all the same direction, it would be relaxing, and if they were alternating directions, it would be stimulating. So I got the ideas of what the potential effects of the, you know, being in that, in the presence of it would be from that. It may have other effects as well, but in general. That's what Wolf Baby was also saying, that this one, and the one she's going to go for is the square pattern. A, it's easier to make. Even so, we're still thinking, how do you get bits of cloth and bits of stone to stay together? That's the tricky one. I think we're probably going to use epoxy glue or... silicone. What do you use? Do you have any cloth based things?
No, but why can't you just do it like a quilt thing? You know, where you take the two pieces of cloth and you lay out your pattern, and then you just do a sewing thing where you're putting a square around where the stone is. You're sewing the two pieces together around where the stone is.
Yeah, that's the thing. She just wanted to be able to see the stone. So, anyway, long story. Stuff like organza, which you can see through, is very fragile. So it doesn't. So it's finding the right balance between being able to see the stones or just being able to feel them. I personally think it should be just a blank, or you know, you put a nice pattern on it or a mandala or something like that. But we thought you could make, you could use this idea, you make a quilt, and where your chakras will be, you put in relevant patterns of shungites to create those energy vortices in the blanket. And then you lay the blanket on and boom, 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 every chakra gets its healing. How cool will that be?
Well, you could do that through imaging, like put a picture or whatever. But because shungite is programmable, you could image it into the stone itself. It'll hold a thought form, let's put it that way. So you could say, okay, this is going to be your base chakra, and the symbol for the base chakra is this, and you just project it into the stone, and the stone will hold the image.
So, we can. I'm sure that it will be a very nice thing to lay under, and we'll give you more reports once he's actually made it. Which is, I think this week is this week's project is the blanket. Mainly because she's taken half of my bag of shungites.
How are your chickens doing?
How are my chickens? They seem quite a lot happier these days. Everything's sort of settled down into a routine. I'm still getting weird soft eggs from the big one, but the other two have got lovely little hard eggs. And they're growing bigger by the days. Buckety and Beckety. Buckety and Peggity. Peggity, buggity. Anyway, so there's my chickens. I've been giving them.
Have you tried to put any shungite powder in their feed?
I do sometimes. Let me just tell you. While we were washing the stuff out, I kept all the water. And so I've got a kind of light grey shungite water here. It's got a bit of settlement at the bottom, but. I have some very powerful shungite medicine, fullerene. Cheers. Mm-hmm. We've been trying very. Oh yeah, yeah. We put some shungite in the food last night as well. Actually, we were completely filthy. I got photos of me and Nikki, and she drew hair on my head with the shungite. You know, like a kind of charcoal, you know. So the pictures of me.
Here's another thing that Walt did. He took colloidal silver, which is silver suspended in water, and put some shungite pellets nuggets in the bottom of it, and the silver came right out of the water and were absorbed into the shungite. He said you couldn't wash it off. He tried it with Elite after the fact, and it was like the Elite had it on the surface. You could just rub it off, but the natural was absorbing the silver right into the shungite, and that didn't surprise me because two people said that, you know, some when I first started out, I had some of the pendants that were actually silver, which they call silver filled, but it's the silver was real silver, not the enamel that I use now. But I go to the enamel now that looks like silver, you know, looks like gold, but it's really glass because the shungite was taking the silver right out of the wire. All of a sudden, I'm looking at somebody, I'm saying, "What happened?" I said, "Why do you have a copper one?" And they said, "Oh yeah, I meant to tell you that." And you can see the silver up where the coils are that hook the pendant in, but everything that was resting on the shungite, it was completely devoid of the silver. The shungite had absorbed it. So that's how, if you got colloidal silver around, you might try, you know, seeing what happens when you throw some nuggets in it.
All right, so you don't really want to do that because it'll ruin your colloidal silver. Somebody actually asked me this question the other day. Said, "What happens if you use shungite and colloidal silver?" And I say. I expect that the shungite will absorb the colloidal, will absorb the silver, because that's what it does. And so, yeah. Yes, that seems to be the way.
See, they asked a question, and the universe gave them an answer through us. That's how it works.
There you go. So, that's about it for today and this week on Ever Beyond. Thank you very much, Nancy. And thank you for Katie Galanti earlier on. We're coming back with Frank Jordan and the Earth Healers Group, followed by what looks like an evolution from days gone by. I'll dig one out later. So,
I'll see you tomorrow night, Andrew.
See you tomorrow night, Nancy. Thanks for coming along.
6 to 8. Safe, sweetie. Thank you.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Bye.